Amen. If you turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, we're done coming towards the end of Elisha here. We may have one more, I'd say. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7, and we'll go through each one of those as we go along. And we're going to be looking at power lost and power recovered. And verse 1 and 2 we read, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye." The school of the prophets had become too small for them. And it shows an apparent growth in numbers, and they needed more room. No doubt, Elisha's miracles, the Lord's work Elisha was doing, was attracting more people. We may be the healing of Naaman and the removal, as we saw last time, of Elisha's covetous and lying servant Gehazi may also have contributed to the increase and the need of a bigger building. The one they were in, it tells us there, had become too straight for them. That means too narrow, too tight a space. And the young men had gone to Elisha and they're seeking his counsel, which was the wise thing for them to do. He was older than them. He was more experienced spiritually and probably in a worldly sense also. But these young men, they had a zeal to grow. They wanted to flourish. But that didn't cause them to run out hastily and trying to set about to get a building and do things without wise counsel. And Elisha responds to them and he says, "Go ye." And verse 3 and 4, it's one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. It's interesting, these young men did not seek to build some grand cathedral, as nice as those are. They didn't send out for the best timbers or all the marbles and all the trimmings. Every man was content to cut down a log. In other words, they were ready to roll up their sleeves and get to it in the Lord's work. And as they were busy in the Lord's work, verse 5 we read, "As one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed." You know, it's interesting. You know, I've spent a lot of time cutting down trees and doing this sort of work. It's interesting. You can't cut much if there's no head on the axe. You can hit a tree all day you like with a stick, but it's not going to fall over. You need the head of the axe to be able to make it work. And without the axe head, there's no power to cut down the tree. And notice the man didn't lose it at all. It just fell into the water as he was doing the work. You know, it's a blessing. It made me think, once we've accepted Christ as our Saviour, that we can never be lost. We can never fall out of our relationship with God. You know, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand," John 10:28. In fact, John 5:24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed," or but is passed, "from death unto life." You know, we may get a little bit loose in our relationship with the Lord. We can, however, lose our axe head, so to speak, the power and the blessings, and we can become ineffective in God's service. And that's an easy thing to happen. We need to be very careful of that. We end up like just being an axe handle instead of being a complete axe. And an act of disobedience, there could be some unconfessed sin. Maybe there's something that we have not put right in our lives. something between us and another person, and that grieves the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, which we are commanded not to do. And when we start grieving the Spirit, he can't work in and through us. Not that he doesn't want to, but we've grieved him. And many believers have had their axe head, so to speak, come loose. There could be some today in danger of it becoming loose. It could be an act of pride. Could be an act of forgetting that all we receive comes from the hand of God. We could be thinking that what we're doing is supplying our needs and what we're accumulating is the blessings of God, where in reality they're what we're doing for ourselves. 1 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us, "For whom maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" See, it could be through becoming careless, especially when we have our quiet times. Yeah, we can all become careless in that. Neglecting to watch and pray. This is written down here. I just didn't make that up. The easy thing to do. To put off reading your Bible, praying, it's very easy. The axe head may have come loose from the handle and we don't even notice it. And look what happened to this young man, it's just fallen off, it's fallen into the water. But as one was felling the beam, the axe head fell into the water and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." All he's got in his hands now is a handle. And again, try and cut down a tree with a handle. It's impossible. You see, the power of the strike rests in the head of the axe. And our axe handle, it may represent our position in God's service, in God's house. It could represent the talents he has blessed us with, the influence of the opportunities God's given to witness for him. Without the head, which represents God's power, it's not going to be effective. Now this man, he was a willing worker. He worked for the Lord. He set out to do all he could do for the Lord. And it is easy, and I'm speaking from experience, it is easy to get lost in the work and miss out on the real power that's needed to do it. We can go through the motions of the Christian life and feel pretty good about it. Nothing seems too wrong or out of place. But the real power of God at work that makes the difference is not there. And the next thing you know, we're on the roundabout of the Christian life. We come onto the roundabout and we forget there's an exit. And we go around and around and around and around. And unless we take this way, God's signs pointing this way, follow me. If we don't hop off at that exit, we just go round and around and around and around. And that's frustrating. See, we may put a lot of time and effort and labor into this work. And we may sacrifice a lot of things to do it. But the power is gone and our work for the Lord is all of a sudden ineffective. And that runs on a little bit from this morning. We have got to make sure our homes are operating in the power of God, not in the works of our own hands and flesh. Now, it may seem to other people that we're putting in the effort, but in God's sight, we're not going anywhere. Deuteronomy 32, 36 says, "For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone. And there is none shut up or left." Now this young man, as eager as he was, as keen as he was, he had only one option. He knew where he had to go for help. And he cries out to Elisha. He didn't waste any time. It didn't take a few days to mull it over. Will I do this or won't I do that? He just said, "Alas, master." You know, the most blessed thing we can do in our homes and our lives is to keep very short accounts with God. And we know something's wrong, deal with it. Go to God with it. He'll take care of it. If we notice our power's gone, we need to go at once and to God and acknowledge that we have tried to run our homes and our lives in our own strength, not in his power or not in his might. Let's acknowledge we've lost his power at work in our life. 1 John 1:9. Tell me what it says, people. "If thou sins, he is faithful and just to what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now this young man, he could not replace the loss. Now these sons of prophets, again, they're good men. They're not wealthy by any means. And in those days, to lose an axe head was to lose something really valuable, a tool that they was almost essential in their lives. Now it wasn't his. It tells us there he borrowed it. And it's something he couldn't replace. And we do need to understand that that may not be much to us today. You've lost an axe, so what? You know, I was walking along a footpath on Friday, and Deborah saw it, not me. She said, "Look at that, and here's a hammer just sitting on the footpath." No one cared about it. It was just laying there in a bit of grass and a hammer. Didn't mean much at all. But an axe in these days was heaps. And he's lost something he has borrowed. If he could have afforded to replace it, he would have. He wouldn't have needed to borrow one. He held that axe as a trust, and he had a real desire to return it. You know, and it's good to see faithful men like that. Luke 16:10 reminds us, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." See, for this man, he's lost his part in doing the work of God. He can't do it anymore. And it grieved him. I wonder how grieved we are when we're not doing the work of God we know we should be doing. Anything that robs us of the power, anything that robs us of the strength, for a man especially, in bearing his part in God's work, building God's kingdom, should be a great sorrow to their hearts. And this man's appeal to Elisha concerning this lost axe head, that's not a waste of time. Elisha replies with a question, verse 6. "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Where fell it? When our heart asks us, and again I'm speaking from experience, when our heart asks us, "Where did I lose my power?" Where did I lose my strength and my effectiveness? Where was the leak? Then we need to examine ourselves. And if we are going to be honest about it, as David was when he cried out to the Lord, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If we are prepared to come like that, the Lord will certainly go, "Brother Dennis, that's exactly where you lost it. That's where you departed from the ways of the living God." And he showed him the place. It's interesting, this man had to go to the place where he lost, or where the axe head fell off. And Elisha cast down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now many people have tried to turn this into, oh, the iron changed its matter or whatever, and it just floated up. But no, it's not a miracle if that happens. It's a bit like the walls of Jericho. In Joshua there, it tells us the walls fell flat. Man likes to say there was an earthquake and they just fell over. The Bible says they fell flat. And Israel marched on in. They didn't struggle climbing over rubble. They just marched in. It's a miracle. It's not a miracle if it didn't. You see, the presence of God was there. The miracle wasn't wrought by Elisha's own power, but he was a man available to be the instrument in God's hand. Think about that. Are you and I prepared to be available to be the instrument in God's hand? And what a wonderful blessing it turned out for this school. God's presence was in the midst of God's work. And this is entirely possible for this church here today. If we would but go back and mark where we may have lost a bit of power. What a treasure it is to see God's presence at work in this church. Without that, what use would our work be? What use would it have been for these sons of prophets in trying to build this school? Without God's power, what use would have been their discipline? You can be as disciplined as you like, but if you're doing it in your own strength, it's not in God's power. Their labour in the building, what would be the point? Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build what? The house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. See, without the Lord's presence, where are the bonds of fellowship? You know, I'm so thankful to the Lord. Every time a visitor comes in here, they've all said, and I can honestly say that, they said, "We've never seen fellowship like that." That's because God's at work in all our hearts, not just one or two. What about the bonds of kindness, of love, the bonds of patience, of compassion? Where would be the evidence of growth spiritually, emotionally, and numerically and physically? What a mockery it would have been for them to have looked forward to being teachers of others in the truth of God. And what a mockery it would be for any man to enter into the Lord's pulpit or into the Lord's service and to speak about the love of Christ and yet that person be a stranger to the Lord's love. What a mockery if any man or woman speak about the grace of God and they've never yet experienced that in their own hearts. What a mockery to speak of the mercies of God and never show them to anybody else. You may say, well, there's not much I can do. And some people, young people like myself, we struggle, amen. And I have people say to me, they get a bit older, they're getting a bit tired and there's not much they can do. And we get some younger people saying that there's not a lot they can do. And I understand that. But for those who struggle with this, as a church, we minister unto the Lord and we are ministering as we obey the scriptures in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. We minister to one another when 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, and that there be no gatherings when I come. A moment ago, we further obeyed God when we saw there Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I could have sung all afternoon. Now, you may not be able to do a lot, but please remember, you do more than just warming a pew if that's all you can do. You're doing much more. And for those of us who are capable of doing a lot, then we need to get busy doing it. And we need to make sure the handle we've got hold of has got an axe head on the top of it. We need to understand that you're doing exactly what God requires of us to do in His house on the Lord's day. And understand we're in a world to give glory to Jesus Christ, who was in the world, who died upon the cross some 2,000 or so years ago to pay our sin debt. We represent Him. We represent God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And one of the main reasons God instituted the local church was to provide fellowship. A source of Christian fellowship that we sometimes, and we're just being frank and honest today, that we sometimes just take for granted. And I don't know of anything more important to the spiritual well-being of our people, from the youngest to the oldest, from the smallest to the greatest, than the Christian fellowship God has provided. No one lives to themselves. No one dies to themselves. The bottom line is, I need you. And I'm not being self-centered when I say you need me. We need one another. I want to give myself to you in fellowship, and I want exactly the same back from you. We are a source of encouragement to one another, because I can tell you now, we live in a very unfriendly world to Christianity. But if we allow the axe head to come off, if we lose the power of God at work in us individually, we need to be very careful we don't lose it corporately. We are to be about building up God's church. It's His provision for us to serve one another, and in doing so, we are serving Him. And when we are doing that, God's presence and power is in the midst of His place. Now, when I need that presence and power of God, I don't go to the pub to get it. I don't go to the football to find it. I don't seek it on the streets. I come to the house of God and I sit down with men and women of like precious faith. I find what I need in the place of worship. I wouldn't like to think what I would be if I didn't have the joy of your fellowship every Sunday, honestly. God is at work amongst his people, especially they will know his presence and power as we are obedient to him. And I don't think I could overcome. I don't think I could pray as I should and witness as I should without the fellowship of God's people, without the fellowship of Christian encouragement. Encouragement that comes only from God's Spirit at work in the midst of his people, in his church. And we need to put aside what would hinder us from having God's blessing upon his house. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, "Take it up to thee," and he put out his hand and took it. See, the power lost, he had to take it back up again. "Take it up to thee," and he put out his hand and took it. See, when we have confessed to the Lord that we have let the axe head come loose, and he has shown us how to recover it, then we must take it by faith, believing God has forgiven us, that what he says is truth and he actually does it. Then we take back our place, serving the Lord where he wants to place us. And I can't stress it enough. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, the axe head was borrowed, verse 5. He was concerned because it didn't belong to him. He was accountable to the owner for it. And yes, and on a practical sense, we need to be concerned about other people's goods. But taking this thought in the spiritual sense, God's power is lent to us. And we must render an account to him with where he has placed us to do his work. And like the sons of these prophets, let us use the power of God to the building of his house for his glory as a witness to what God can and do in the lives of his people. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning and this afternoon. We thank you for the glorious fellowship and the wonderful friendships that you have placed us into. And Lord, may we treasure it. May we guard it, Lord. May we keep our eyes and ears open to anything that may come in and try and defile it. And that what we do, Lord, we recognize that we're doing for your glory. And Lord, may we just check and see where we may have just let things slip. And we come back to you to make it right again. Watch over us this week, Lord, until we gather together again in your house. May your blessings be upon each and every one of us as we seek to do your will. And Lord, may you just grant us all the grace that we need to do so. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.